Praise God. Come. Come. Jesus is calling. He says, come. Come. Are you willing or ready to answer that call? He says, come. Now is the time. There is never a bad time to come. Now is the time. Anytime. Come. You're never too late. You're never too early. But whenever you come, it is at the right time. See, he's saying, come. Now is the time. He is a right now God. He's not willing to wait till later. He is now. So he is saying, come. And he's saying, come just as you are. Come just as you are. I don't care how broken, how twisted, how messed up you think you are. He is saying, come just as you are. You see, because if you wait till you get fixed, or you wait till you're ready, you're never going to make it. Because you can't do it. You see, you have to come to him so that he can fix you. And he is, again, a right now God. And he is a God who loves you unconditionally. And this is why he says, come. He doesn't care what you've done. It matters, but it's not going to affect him. Because no matter how big you think the sin is that you've committed, he's bigger. You cannot out-sin God's grace. So he says, come. Just as you are. If you've got to crawl, come. If somebody has to bring you, beg, borrow, do whatever you have to do, but get there. Come. And it is not a matter of leaving where you are. It is just a matter of opening your heart and accepting. Come just as you are to worship. Come. Now is the time. Now is the time. And we're going to be talking about that today. This is what we're here for. We came, so now he's saying, come. You got here, now come. Come all the way. Don't just come half the way, because half the way won't do it. You got to go all the way. All the way. Come. Now is the time. And I'm reading or looking at the book of Matthew in chapter 22, and it says that the kingdom of God is like a king who invites the people to a wedding dinner. It says he sends his servants out to invite all of the people to come to this wedding dinner. But all of the people who have received invitations refuse to come. They decide not to come. They go other places. And it says they treat the servants terribly who came to inform them that the dinner was ready. So because they didn't come, it says that the king sent the servants out into the highways and into the roadways and said, just invite everybody, good and bad. Just invite them to come. I'm talking about an analogy for us this morning to come. You see, you don't have to be good to come. You just need to come. He said, go out into the highways, into the byways, and invite anybody and everybody, good or bad, to come because the dinner's ready. And it says they filled up the wedding hall with all of these people who were not invited originally, but who came at the behest of the servants who went out and said, hey, we're having a wedding dinner over here and there's plenty of seats. Come on in. And you notice how food brings people together? They went. But in the end, it says that as the wedding hall was filled with all the people, the king went out to walk through the crowd and invite and, I guess, shake hands and to welcome everybody. And he ran across one guy who was not dressed properly to come to a wedding. Now, I always visualize. So visualize everybody's in their tuxedos and in their best dress to come to this wedding dinner. And we got this one guy, flip-flops, two blue jeans and a T-shirt. And he's there. And the king asked him, "Sir, why did you come to this wedding and didn't dress for it?" This is good stuff. This is good stuff, but you have to see it to understand what he's saying here. He said, "Why did you come to this wedding and not dress for it?" So he called the servant, says, "Bind his hands, his feet, and throw him out of here. Throw him out because he's not dressed right." He came unprepared. You see, he came to the wedding just like everybody else did, invited, but he didn't prepare to get there, to be there. He was dressed improperly. You have to make yourself available for what is presented to you. The wedding feast was available and open to everybody, but there is something expected of you too. You have to prepare yourself for it. You have to be ready. You have to be willing. You can't just show up. You have to get ready. That's what he's saying. And in 22:14, it says that for many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. He called them all, but there was a few that was chosen. Who were the chosen ones? The chosen ones were the ones who accepted the call, prepared to go all the way. You can come to my wedding, but now you got to dress for it. You got to be presentable. You got to be ready for what you're there for. Come, but be prepared. Many are called, it says, but few are chosen. That's the message there. That's the message there. You see, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called. So it is saying to us that their hearing was dull. So they didn't hear the call. They missed the call because they didn't hear it. There was too much noise going on around them. They were thinking about foolishness. They were worried about nothing. Or they were meddling in somebody else's affairs. So they missed the calling. They missed the calling. And some of you might say, well, in light of only a few being chosen, how does one prepare himself so that he don't miss the cut? Well, see, I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked, and it's always good to have inquiring minds. But the answer is simple, and the answer lies with you. You always get to choose. Salvation is a choice. You always get to choose. And salvation is a choice. God has made it available for everybody. But you have to choose it. Salvation is available for all men, but you have to choose it. It's yours. But you have to choose it. And so the few that get chosen are the ones who make the right choice. So you see, the answer to the question is you. You always get to choose. Always. God will not force anything on you. He makes it available to you, but you have to accept it. And this is what he's talking about here. He says many are called. Everybody is called. But only a few is chosen. And why are those not chosen who are called? Because they're not prepared. They didn't get dressed for the wedding. There's too much stuff going on in their heads. They didn't hear the call. The call came out, but they missed it. because they had another agenda. They were thinking about other things. They didn't avail themselves to the call. So they missed the call. And some of them will say, well, just because that they didn't succeed in everything that they tried, they failed at many things, and they don't excel in prayer as some other people. They can't speak in tongues like other people do. They say to themselves, well, I missed it. That's a great mistake. To feel that you've missed it just because you have not succeeded in everything that you put your hands to. That you failed in a lot of things that you did put your hands to. And you feel your prayers are not answered. Or you can't speak in tongues. So I just don't have it. So I missed the call. I missed God's calling. That's a great mistake. That is the devil. That's the devil coming around with a blacklist of your weaknesses and your infirmities, trying to convince you that you will never be worthy for God's calling. But it's a lie. It's a lie, and you have to say so. You have to say it's a lie. You have to, in other words, I'm talking about call the devil a liar to his face, because that's what he is. In the book of John, chapter 8, to be exact, verse 44, it says that he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. So you have to disregard anything that he say, or those things that come into your mind saying that you can't make it. Oh, I sinned so bad that God will never forgive me for that. Oh, God is bigger than all of the sins that you can commit. It's the devil with that blacklist trying to tell you, you missed it. Call him a liar. He's a liar. Jesus said in the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. You understand what he said? My grace is sufficient for you. Meaning that his grace will cover whatever it is that you've done. All you need is my grace. My grace is sufficient for you. And then before he finishes, he says that my strength is made perfect in your weaknesses. In that same verse, you don't have to go no further than 12:9, and it'll give you both of those. That my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And if that's not good enough for you, look at Matthew 19:30, where he says, even if you are last, you can be first. He's telling us that we have what we need to get by on. Don't be deceived by the devil. It's a trick. He wants you groveling, crying, and rolling around in the fetal position. Oh, help me. Jesus has already did everything that he's going to do. All you got to do is be ready. You got to open yourself up to God's grace. He is willing to give you everything that you need to sustain life on this planet. He's made it all available for you. All you have to do is open your heart and receive him. Come, he said. Though I stand at the door and knock, if any man will open that door, I will come in and sup with you. Revelation 3:20. He'll come in and have dinner with you, fellowship with you. Just open the door. But come. This is what he said to you. But you know what the hard part is? The hard part is that we have to confess our helplessness. We have to confess our helplessness. And when we confess our helplessness, then that will change the whole situation. But we get caught up with, oh, if I confess that, what would my friends say? What are they going to think about me now if I say I did all of that? You don't care what they say. You have to swallow that pride. Swallow that pride and move on, because he says that God will feed the hungry with good things, but he turns the satisfied away empty. Oh, this is your get out of jail free card. God will feed the hungry with good things, but will turn the satisfied away empty. So I'm saying to you this morning that if you want to grow in the knowledge of the grace of God, then you got to be hungry enough to be fed. You got to be thirsty enough to cry out about it. And you got to be broken enough to only want it if it comes from God. And then let him comfort your heart. Let him bring you to the place where there's profit. Let him take you to that place where he wants you to be, where he has chosen for you. Remember what it says? Many are called, but few have been chosen. You have been chosen because you are the children of God. If you are proclaiming Christianity, oh, I am a Christian, I am a blood-bought, Bible-thumping, tongue-talking Christian, and I love the Lord, and then you have no problems. All you need is trust in the Lord, opening that door so that God can be your all-in-all. He's already got it. He's already got it. I'm saying to you this morning that if you're broken, get it from God. If you are broken and you need God, cry out. Listen to yourselves. Listen to yourself. When you get in trouble or you feel that ache and pain, you ain't ashamed to call 911 and watch your neighbors watch the RA unit come in and load you on a gurney and roll you out and you land there and you ain't ashamed of that. Why come you say, Father, help me, forgive me, fix me, heal me? Oh, if I do that, they'll talk about me. They'll think that I think. Who cares what they think? They don't have what you got. You have the assurance of God that he will take care of you. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Huh? If you are that Christian that you say you are, then that's what you say first, and then he will give you the instructions to call 911. You don't call 911 and then say, God, help me while the paramedics is rolling you out. Well, they got you now. Call him first and then let him direct your path. Oh, man, that's crazy. Shoot, I need help and I need it now. Well, what is more present than the presence of God? You have invited him into your heart, so he is living within you. Don't you know that your body is the temple of God? That's where he dwells. I'm going to my Father. But I will not leave you an orphan, for I will send to you a comforter who will come and abide with you forever. And it will remind you of everything that I told you. And what did I tell you? Cast your cares on me, for I care for you. You don't have any problems when you belong to him. Everything that goes wrong with you is his problem. That's the way I read it. I don't know. I could be wrong. But that's the way I read it. We are the children of God. And being his children, it is his responsibility to take care of us. But he can't do that if we won't let him, because we get to choose. We are made in the image and likeness of God. So we get to choose. But we are chosen because we made the right choice. Let me leave you with something. Let me leave you something. 2 Corinthians. Peter, who was a rebel. 2 Peter. He lays it out to us. Exactly what we're trying, what we're talking about. 2 Peter. 2 Peter. No, it's 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Okay, that's it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. See, I knew where it was. I was just trying to fool you. I thought somebody was going to find it for me. But watch what he say here. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Did you see what he says here? Let me go back again. He says in verse 9, chapter 2 of 1 Peter, he says, but you are, not that you're going to be, when you accepted Christ, he says, you are a chosen generation. What is he talking about here, that you are a chosen generation? He has taken us all the way back to the beginning, to where Israel was a chosen generation. Why was Israel the chosen generation? Because Abraham accepted Christ. It doesn't tell us how many people God called, but when he called Abraham, Abraham went. He said, Abraham, get out of your father's house. Go to a country that I'll tell you you're there when you get there, and I'll make you great. And Abraham said, okay, I'll go. And we'd say, man, that is the craziest thing I ever heard of. He's going somewhere where he don't know nobody. He don't even know where he's going. He's just going. But Abraham answered the call. This is why he can say here that they were a chosen people. They were chosen because Abraham made the right choice. He chose to accept the word of God and to act upon that. That's what made the children of Israel chosen. And Peter is bringing us back here. Peter has a way of doing this. If you read Acts, when he preaches after the day of Pentecost, he does the same thing. He takes them all the way back so that they'll know where he's getting this stuff from. It's not his idea. It is what it is, and it will always work the same way because God does not change. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. Whatever he done first, that's what he'll do all the time. So you can't be confused and say, well, you know, last week it was like this, and then this week it's like that. No, it will always be like this. When you answer his call, you will be chosen. So that's what made him chosen. And this is what Peter got going on. But let me continue. Because it says that not only are you a chosen generation, you are a royal priesthood. Why are you a royal priesthood? You're royal because you are a child of God. And if God is the King of Kings, then you be the princes and princesses. And so that makes you royalty. And the priesthood part is because you are royalty and you are a child of God, you are going to share that with people. You're going to preach the gospel, take the good news out into the community. You are a royal priesthood. You are a king's kid talking about the king's benefits. This is what we have to do to find out who we really are. We need to know what he says. And once we get what he says in black and white, then we know it's real. We know it's real. You don't have to go down there to the club tonight and say, you know, I was up there in Bethel Church this morning and that preacher said. No, you'll be lying on the preacher. The preacher didn't say nothing. The preacher read what the book said. And this is what you have to go by. You are a royal priesthood. And then he calls them a holy nation. How did they get to be a holy nation? They hadn't done anything. How they got to be a holy nation? Because what does holy mean? Holy means to be separated and set apart for the use of God, for the service of God in some translation. Set apart for the service of God. Israel was set apart for the service of God. And you know what we say? Oh, wasn't it terrible what they done to Joseph? They sold him into slavery. And then he went there and he got the prison. But we forgot the part where it says, all things works together for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. All of that terrible stuff that happened to Joseph set them apart. Now, all of Israel is in Egypt in slavery. But they set apart for the service of God. And when they came out to preach the gospel. That's why they were set apart, so that they would all be together. And when they come out, they would come out with a message that God is with them. And if we do like they do, then we will always do well. Because do you know what God done for them? He beat Pharaoh. I mean, they walked across the Red Sea on the dry ground. But when the soldiers went into the Red Sea to try to get them, the water overcame them. They beat a whole army and never fired a shot. And then when they got in the desert, child, they got thirsty. Wasn't no water nowhere. And that guy Moses took a stick, hit a rock, and water gushed out, and they all drank. But that ain't all. That ain't all, y'all. I'm telling you, they got hungry because they run out of food. You know, there's about 1 million of them out there. And they didn't have enough food to carry around with them, so they got hungry. And you know what happened? The wind started blowing one day, and quail just came and fell over the whole camp waist high. They got to eat meat forever. But that's the second part of the blessing. They already had the bread, you see, because the bread just started falling from the sky. It just rained bread every night, and all they had to do was go out and pick it up. This is what the message was to be. This is why they were holy and set apart. They were set apart to carry that good news. I hope you're following what we're saying here. This is who we are, people. This is who we are. And then he goes on from the holy nation. He hits us with the good one now. A peculiar people. You can't be normal. Oh, I just want to be one of the normal fellas. No, make me strange. Make me weird. I want to be peculiar. You know, boy, ain't that peculiar? He's doing weird stuff. Yes. Yeah, that's the one. A peculiar people. You know why you're peculiar? Because you don't act like everybody else. What's normal for them is out of line for you. And what you're doing is strange and unusual behavior. Because you ain't crying in the storm. You're not crying when things get hard. You got that smile on your face. Why do you got that smile on your face? Boy, are you crazy? It's doing this out there. He's peculiar. He's peculiar. Why is he peculiar? Because he knows. He knows that in this world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. Because I have overcome the world. You know this, so therefore, when things go bad and you're standing around grinning, people are going to look at you funny. And if you don't straighten up after a certain length of time and start doing many strange things, they'll be after you with the white coats to take you to the funny farm. But you know what you can do? You can go there grinning. Get in the van. laughing. Because you know what time it is. They don't have what you got. That's why you're peculiar. You're different from everybody else. And it says, because of all of these things, because you're chosen, because you're all priests, because you are a holy nation, and because you're peculiar, you are to show forth the praises of him who hath called you. Many are called, but few are chosen. He has called you. You show forth the praises of him that has called you. And because you're praising him, because he has taken you out of the darkness. He's taken you out of the confusion. He's taken you out of the unawareness, out of the sin, out of the muck and mire, and brought you into his marvelous light, the light of knowledge, knowing that it don't make no difference what happened to you, because you love the Lord, so it's going to turn out good. It's going to turn out good. They're going to come and repossess your car today, but tomorrow somebody's going to show up with a Bentley or a Rolls Royce and replace the one that they took. You know that. Why do I know that? Because, hey, when it looks bad, that's when it's good. Because my word says that God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. But how do I benefit? How do I capitalize on all of these benefits that I have? Confessing my helplessness. I can do nothing of myself, but all things are possible through him. I can do nothing of myself, but all things are possible through him. I'm telling you this morning that we have everything that we need to get by on, but we have to access it. We have to be prepared. We have to prepare. I said, open our hearts and just let God take charge. That's what he's talking about. Come. 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 And I say come this morning, and I say it with all sincerity and with, I don't know where I got it from, but if you got something that you don't want in your life this morning, come and see. Taste and see if God is good. Taste and see if God is good. Now you go home and complain, but you've been here and I said, come if you don't want it. If it's bothering you, if you just don't want that no more, you hate that. That is from the devil. Come. Come and see. Come and see. I wouldn't say it if I didn't think it was true. And I wouldn't say it of myself. But something says that you should come. And if you don't come, then whatever is whatever. Come. Now's the time. Now is the time. Come. That's what I got. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus for your blessings to be upon us this morning, to guide us and keep us. Father, we know that your word is true. We trust you in all that we do. And Father, we ask that you would bless us in a way that we're able to bless others. Fill us with a heart, Father, that has compassion for others. Guide us in the way that we should go. Give us the strength and the wisdom and the opportunity to come to do whatever you ask us to do, that you would bless us in a way that we can share it with others. Father, we pray that you'll give us the opportunity to share what we have with those we come in contact with today, those walking dead, Father, we pray that you'll give us a word, Father, a word of comfort, to let them know that there is a God. Help us, Father, to be that light in the dark places. And I ask you in the name of Jesus to go before us and behind us and keep our feet on that narrow path of righteousness, guiding us in the way. Here we go. Father, thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your goodness. And thank you for your mercy. In the name of Jesus, amen.